Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waving for the video portion of our show, we have a new face, and we've got a nice big hat covering half the screen. It's Sheriff Mark Lamb. So thank you so much, Sheriff, for being on the show, formerly with Pinal County. And we've had Chief Deputy Matthew Thomas. He's been a regular on the show for quite a while. And remember Deputy Frank Slope, Fridays with Frank. And so we finally got the sheriff on the show. So thank you so much for being on the show, Sheriff. Appreciate it. We also have Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State. And then, of course, we got the famous duo. They're getting some names for themselves right now. They've got a little fan base going on the show already. We got Rich Steropoli and Frank Loveridge, retired from Secret Service. So thanks, gentlemen, for being on the show as well. And guys, a shout out to our sponsors. Please support our sponsors. They go the great lengths to bring this show to you. Our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. And I'm starting to lose count. I think that we're in our ninth week of satellite radio now, thanks to ComplianTechnologies.com. Also, GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're reaching about 1.5 million people right now on stream. Also, TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. You get cool gear like the shirt I'm wearing. We don't charge anything extra. We don't make a dime off of it. We're just trying to get our gear out there. So check that out at LeoRoundtable.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for hearing our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, we got some awesome topics. CIA whistleblower calls BS on FBI's latest Jeffrey Epstein truce. We've got some recommendations to the audience. That's why I'm covering it, not wasting any time. So stay tuned for that. Also, Watsonville police overuse handcuffs, detentions for minor crimes, county watchdog says. We will use that as time permits. We also have body cam shows the moment a Barron County Sheriff's deputy returns fire after a suspect fires his gun. Look, this deputy's responding to a call, and he starts taking incoming fire while he's still in the cab of the cruiser. It's crazy. Then we got Chicago police release a graphic video that left the suspect dead and the officer was injured from a struggle. And then we got video captures the Shorewood police officer shot while responding to a fatal shooting. And then finally, if we have time to get to it, on CCTV, these are our brothers and sisters across the pond. We have body cam footage showing brothers, and I'm talking about these are like Middle Eastern brothers. They assault police officers at the Manchester airport. We've got male and female officers that are going down. I mean, it's a serious fight, so stay tuned for that. So if you guys are ready, let's go and start off with our main topic. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. In fact, there was more information that came out this morning. I'll talk about it verbally, but I didn't have time to get everything set in stone on it. But RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media, CIA whistleblower calls BS on the FBI's latest Jeffrey Epstein truths. Now, the former CIA officer and whistleblower, John Kirko, he cast, and I may have butchered the name, correct me if you guys know, he's casting doubt on Monday on the new intelligence released by the FBI regarding the Jeffrey Epstein case, saying that the latest information does not add up. Now, he made remarks during an appearance on Fox News. He was on Jesse Waters Primetime, discussed this recent claim that there is no Epstein client list. And look, at this point, words matter. People are being very careful what they say. The report released by Axios on Sunday referenced a two-page memo stating the Department of Justice, the DOJ, and the FBI had found no evidence of a client list associated with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, the memo reportedly shared with lawmakers appeared to be aimed at putting to rest this public speculation over who Epstein may have been connected to with this alleged sex trafficking operation. And then, of course, Fox host Jesse Waters asked our whistleblower if he believed the FBI's explanation adds up. And he says, no, I don't think it adds up. And he kind of goes on to say that he suggests that while the current leadership of the FBI may be attempting to be transparent, he says that deeper institutional forces remain at work, referencing what he described as the deep state, which we've all heard of. I think that there may be a layer underneath them. And he's talking about the leads at the FBI. He's talking about, you know, Cash Patel and Bongino and even Pam Bondi, our attorney general, saying that I think this layer beneath them, that's part of what we like to call the deep state. It's taken this bull by the horns and they probably destroyed information, according to Kirko. So that's what he says. And let me just add on before we talk about it that, you know, I follow coffeeandcovid.com, attorney Jeff Childers out of Gainesville, Florida. He provides political commentary now. And look, this is like front page news. This is not going to go away anytime soon. But I'm, if I can caution anybody, it's just to have our audience, you know, take a pause, take a breath, instead of calling for people to submit resignations or be fired and stuff. I don't mind the public pressure because that's the only way you're going to get the answers. But certain things like finding out whether people were working for the CIA, you rightfully never should find out that information. That's, there are certain things that the public does not have a right to know, despite what you guys might think. But the people that are in the business, you know, the cooks in the kitchen that know who's supposed to be there, you know, we know. So there's information the public absolutely positively should not have. But now I think certain people have gone down the rabbit hole a little bit too far, and they're trying not to lose face, but they're trying not to lie too. So they're trying to put things in a perspective where they're not technically lying, but they don't want to, they don't want to compromise sensitive information too. No one knows that better than Rich Steripoli. So Rich, the floor is yours.
Listen, you know, I don't know if I 100% agree with the whistleblower with what he's saying, but I do agree with you, Chip. There are a lot of things that go on that the public simply doesn't need to know about. The problem comes up when the people that are doing the talking start getting, you know, fancy with the semantics, and they start trying to hide things and veil things and say things in a particular way. Well, that just leads to all the conspiracy theories, right? Do I think there's an Epstein list? Yeah, probably. After all, Epstein was running a business. I don't like the way the whole Epstein thing played out to begin with, to include what went on in that Metropolitan Detention Center, which I've been in, you know, a million times. I find a lot of things that went on there with regards to his suicide, which I don't know if I'm even leaning towards that actually having happened in the way it played out, or at least the way the media played it out. But yeah, do I think there's a list? Yeah, probably. Do I think the public needs to see that and everything that's involved around it? I don't think so.
All right. Interesting point. Sheriff Lamb.
Look, it's not just this guy from the CIA that doesn't believe it. It's every other American out there is saying, look, this is not okay. And we can't let it go. Let me tell you why we can't let it go. Because children were involved. People were abused. And we can't just sweep it under the mat. Look at COVID. COVID killed millions of people. And there's a lot of shady information. It looks like it was formed in the lab. It looks like there was a lot of nefarious reasons behind it. And yet nobody was held accountable. And so I think the American people are fed up with people not being held accountable. Clearly, people were held. Jeffrey Epstein was arrested and thrown in jail, and so was Ghislaine Maxwell. And to now come back and say you don't have a client list, maybe even semantically you don't have a list on a sheet of paper with the clients. But I guarantee you, a guy like Jeffrey Epstein and every one of these guys on this video today know that perpetrators of crimes like this, children's crime, they love trophies. They have videos of it. They have all of the information that they store someplace. My understanding is there is a lot of that per Pam Bondi's admission as well. There's a lot of that information. And so we know that people are on those videos and that things happen. So whether you have a client list or not, we know that they probably have information that involves people. And the American people want to see some people held accountable. We're tired of people not being held accountable. And I don't think they're going to sell this to the American people. This may be the one that people say, nope, we're not okay with this.
Yeah, well put, Jeff. If I can add also, you know, ultimately this idiot Epstein was in the hospitality business for high-end, high-net-worth clients. Mm-hmm. Of course he kept some sort of list so he could appease all of these people when he's flying them mm-hmm. all over the world, you know, exposing them to these minors that he was kidnapping and transporting to these various locales. Mm-hmm. Right? The guy's a criminal. The guy's an extortionist. This is what he did for a business. Of course, there's lists that are out there. There's database information that he stockpiled. You know, and I agree with you. The American public has had enough of what went on the last 4 years where they were trying to pull the curtain, you know, the wool over everyone's eyes and keep the veil of secrecy in place. We've had enough of this. The American public is not going to buy this and isn't buying this and isn't going to stand for this nonsense anymore.
Frank.
Well, I was just going to say that, first of all, I want to say that I've known Dan Bongino for quite some time, and I know that he's tenacity. He's a pit bull. He's a great investigator. I worked with criminal cases with him and was on the detail with him. So I don't think there's any cover up at that level. But what I do want to say is that there's so many things that just doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit. Something's not right. You know, Pam Bondi told Fox News that she had a client list that was sitting on her desk. She also said that there was flight logs that was also available to her late in February. You've got both of these statements that were made. And then of course the FBI in New York City has a truckload of evidence that was sent to her, tens of thousands of documents. So you have all these documents she's talking about, but now she walked it back yesterday during the cabinet meeting. And all I'm saying is that, look, the American people, they see this investigation. They're not clear on what went wrong at the MCC, which, by the way, Richie was there as a law enforcement officer, not incarcerated or convicted of any crimes. I want to make that clear.
How do you know I wasn't visiting some relatives over the holiday? You don't know.
I didn't want to get into that, but there's mob ties, I'm sure, somewhere out there. But anyway, I did want to say that that whole thing was stinks, right? You've got a camera that was supposed to be trained on the cell, and that camera wasn't functioning. You have a 30-minute check because he was on suicide watch, was supposed to be conducted by the correctional officers. That didn't happen because they fell asleep. Then you have another camera that's supposed to identify anyone coming into that cell block, and that has a minute's worth of video coverage that's missing. There was no film or any types of photographs on the crime scene of where the Epstein body was laying at the time of death. That was not done. There were a lot of protocols that were not done properly during that investigation. So there's a lot of things out there. And look, you can't tell me that you have all these victims coming forward and all of those things were caused by Epstein. There was clients there. They knew who they were. We need to get to the bottom, release all the information, redact it, release it. I'll end it at that.
Well, it's perfect timing, Frank, because it's time for our first commercial break, guys. So look, stick with us. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about Galls at Galls.com, our title sponsor. And, you know, as police officers, we all know we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources. And then when you throw the online world into it, the sources are really almost unlimited, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Galls at Galls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focus organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Galls at Galls.com. And, you know, we give away a couple of Galls gift cards every week on the show. So if you have family, friends, and loved ones, you should hook them up or consider hooking them up with a Galls gift card at Galls.com, and they'll be your new best friends. And I remember back when we had those nice thick catalogs, there's some guys old enough on the show that remember those things that came through the mail. They couldn't do that today because everything's online and they have way too much stuff, but go to Galls.com. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider, Sheriff Mark Lamb, and retired Secret Service Rich Steripoli and Frank Loveridge. Thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. We've been talking about Jeffrey Epstein and, let's just say, the client list. And we're talking about a lot of people are up in arms. They're calling for people to be fired or to resign. And look, there's a battle of good and evil going on here. And I know we've had, Frank Loveridge was the last one to weigh in. We've got a lot of good people in office. And I mean, you got to remember that over half the country voted for Trump to get him back in office. He won the popular vote, and he's done a lot better job of putting people in place in office than Trump 1.0. I'm talking personally, I believe. We got a lot of good people, Pam Bondi, Kash Patel, Dan Bongino. You have to have faith. Don't lose faith in your core people. And don't think for a moment that they're not in a huge battle of good and evil. Just because they're in these positions doesn't mean they can magically snap their fingers and make everything happen. So they're trying to be careful of what they say. I think that if the pressure stays on, that we will get more answers. I don't think that we should get all the answers. Personally, the client list has never really been, I mean, I've dealt with organized crime and organized prostitution and escort services and client list and all this stuff before. I've never been one of these guys that has to know that client list. I mean, you may wonder, but there's just some things that, you know, I understand there's in the bigger scheme of things, when you're dealing with world leaders and you hold things over people's heads and stuff, there are advantages to having information that maybe doesn't make it get out to the public, you know, stream. So there are, if all that stuff gets released, there's a lot of things that we may not be able to do with the information. You know, as a country. But Sheriff Mark Lamb, we're going to go ahead and you know, close this section out. But go ahead, Sheriff Lamb.
And look, I don't want to take away from Sheriff Kreider because he hasn't had a chance to weigh in on this, but I just wanted to say this is different. You know, look, everybody got the small level. This is how we feel as Americans. If you're a low level people with no money, if you're one of the paupers, if you're one of the just the serfs of this country, then you're going to be held accountable and you're going to be sent to prison for, even, you know, we've got people sitting in prison for far less crimes than what Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein committed. And yet we're just frustrated with the fact that if you have enough money and enough power, then you can keep your name off of these, off of being held accountable. We know good and darn well, very high level people were involved in these operations. And now we're being told that we can't have those names. That's frustrating for the people. And I don't think they're going to forget this. I think this is going to be a problem for it. And one more thing, as a jail person, there is a lot wrong with this stuff. And there is a lot more that needs to be explained away. Having run a jail, having doing 30-minute checks, especially somebody that's potentially on suicide watch, having gaps in videos, all those things, absolutely unacceptable. And I couldn't just push this out to my community, expect them to just believe it because I said so. So they got a lot of explaining to do. And I think there's a lot of holes and gaps need to be filled. And frankly, the people want to see people held accountable, regardless of what your financial status is or the power you wield.
Yeah, I hope the pressure stays up. And yeah, too many coincidences. So I totally agree. Thank you, gentlemen. Excellent coverage on this one. Let's move on and let's go in and, you know, we may get to the update story if we need it, but I'd like to get into the stories for the video components, if you guys don't mind. And let's go to start with the first one. It's a wild video at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And look, when we cover the stories, they have a video component. Obviously, there's just too many things that can go wrong trying to show that in a live show. And plus, we have a lot of audio listeners that are listening to us by podcast or radio. So please stay loyal to the outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if we cover a video that you absolutely have to see, and this next one might be one of those, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day, because at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, our producer Will Statcher, he takes a copy of the live show and he'll embed every video that we talk about as we talk about it. He'll put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we talk about them. It's a great option for you, a great way to watch the show. And again, that's Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Now this one, rumble.com, This Is Butter. Body cam video shows the moment a Barron County sheriff's deputy returns fire after a suspect fires his gun.
What's that? All right, I'm just curious.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Lean, 1413. Can you run an Indiana commemorative for me?
Go
ahead. You got an ID on you?
No.
No?
Yeah, maybe in the car.
Yeah, do you mind getting it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Tom Charles Singh, 451 Indiana commemorative. Really? And I got one running for me on foot on South 3rd Street heading south. Stop! You're gonna get tased! You're gonna get tased! Get on the ground now! Monsieur, dead now!
No!
Get the on the ground!
This is scary. Benton Harbor, Michigan. The sheriff's office releases body cam videos and the photos from the officer involved in the shooting. So our bad guy is a 48-year-old named Joshua Coffey, and he was killed in the shooting. So that's the good news about this. The video shows the moment that Deputy Cal Landon, this guy should be a hero, he was shot at, and the split second he returned fire, killing the bad guy. Officials say that Deputy Landon approached a vehicle that was parked on the side of the road in Niles Township on June the 30th. It was kind of like an abandoned vehicle on the side of the road. And then you've got this 48-year-old bad guy, Joshua Coffey, walking through a field coming up to the car. And he tells the deputy that he's going to get his ID out. But instead of going to the car to do that, he starts booking foot, right? So the deputy gets on the radio. He's chasing the guy. He's got a black, well, it's a taser, but it's black. So I thought that he's chasing the guy with a gun and he's passing from hand to hand while he's running. But he's on radio and it ends up being a taser because he's yelling at the guy saying, I'm going to tase you. I'm going to tase you. And I'm thinking, you got a gun in your hand, dude. But I was wrong. It was a taser that was not yellow. So while in pursuit, the bad guy ends up stopping in the field. He faces our cop, but he's got a side stance and he's got his right hand behind his side, not showing. It puts his left hand up. And so the cop's giving the commands and he's got the taser pointed at him. All of a sudden our bad guy drops to one knee He pulls his firearm out from behind his side and he fires at least two shots at Deputy Landon. How he misses the deputy, I have no idea. I've never seen a faster transition from a conducted energy weapon to a sidearm than you do in this video. It's ridiculously fast. It almost looked to me like maybe he actually at least pushed the trigger on the taser, but he draws his gun. I don't think that he had the firearm in his hand. I think that he drew it from the holster extremely fast, which goes to training, and he fires and neutralizes the bad guy. Our deputy goes down on the ground. He falls backwards. He sits back up, fires another round at our bad guy, and then he goes down again, and the bad guy ends up dying. Deputy was not hurt. The sheriff said that he stands behind the deputy Landon 100% in the actions that he took. And listen to what the sheriff says. He says, and I know we're going to commercial break, but Deputy Landon's ability to quickly transition from his taser to his firearm allowed him to neutralize the threat of his life. And for other people, it's only God's grace that Deputy Landon was not shot. His actions reflect the personal courage and quality of our training. Wow. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, let's talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. They're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove, and has helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminate weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of those common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines in the clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up on July the 9th today, it is Cat Out of the Bag Surges. And then next week, well, actually, it's Bulletproof DUI Reports today, Cat Out of the Bag Surges next week. Sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider, Sheriff Mark Lamb, retired Secret Service Rich Steripoli, and Frank Loveridge. So thanks, gentlemen, for being on the show. Just covered a use of force. I talked about it. We haven't discussed it yet, but we got a officer on his way to a call. He's a deputy, and he's in a, I think it was a marked SUV, because, you know, we're all driving SUVs now. And he starts taking incoming fire. And I think it hit the windshield in the report and also through the driver's window. He ends up getting shot, ends up being in the vest, but he throws it in reverse. He does a good job of communicating with dispatch because, of course, you've got backup showing, but he wants everybody to know that, hey, there's, you know, rounds flying. We don't want to get anyone hurt. And he backs to what we think is a safe distance. He gets out of the cruiser and then goes to the trunk area. Then he gets back up and he finds out that it was his vest. Thought he had some glass in his eye. Goes, gets checked out. They don't give a lot of more information about the bad guy. But it's just a little reminder about what we go through in law enforcement. And you never know what's going to be there when you get there. So commentary on this, gentlemen. Anybody want to take this one first? Frank Loveridge.
Well, I was just going to say, this tells you how important wearing that vest is, right? When you get out there on duty. I know a lot of times we're on the White House grounds and we were having an event there. We had to put our vests on. We complained about putting our vests on because we're thinking, well, we're in a safe environment, but there's no safe environment out there. And I'm just so glad that round struck his vest, because at first he reported that he was struck in the chest, and that kind of got me a little amped up a little bit. And then he said maybe it was the shoulder, and then he realized that the vest actually stopped the penetration of the round. So very important to wear that vest, and I'm so glad that round hit the vest and not his chest. So kudos to him. Thanks. Good job.
Yeah. Thanks, Rich. I know, Frank. Rich, we were talking earlier in the show, those things that Frank's talking about on the White House grounds. I know you see a lot of Girl Scouts and things like that he's talking about. Is there any I couldn't resist. I'm sorry, Frank. And I addressed it to Rich. So I know it's just like, you know, giving candy to a baby. He can't resist it either. So, but go ahead, Rich.
Oh, look, Chip, I wasn't a sheriff, so I don't have that title. However, I am a member of the Knights of Columbus. So, sir, will simply suffice. But I got to point out, you know, you got to, I think there were two takeaways from that incident. One, you got to remember when you're in a marked patrol car, right? That's not like sitting in a bank vault. That thing can be a magnet for problems, one of which is the taking of fire, right? Normally you'd see a video like that from a guy driving a Humvee in Afghanistan or in the Iraqi theater, but it does happen. So it's a fantastic reminder. You've got to make sure you're aware of your surroundings and you're wearing your equipment. That bulletproof vest, it cannot be underestimated how important that thing is. And in this case, it probably saved this guy's life. But the other thing that stands out is the fact that this guy's composure. Not only does he get on the radio to notify people that he's hit, but he gives the all-important location, right? I remind guys all the time, it does no good if you're on the radio narrating what's going on and how the events are unfolding. You've got to tell people where you are so assistance can get to you.
Thank you. Anybody else, gentlemen, on this? Sheriff Lamb.
Look, this just reminds you, we hear this all the time. Well, why couldn't the cops do this? Or why couldn't the cops do that? This is how quickly things can happen. You know, he was just driving down the street looking for a location and bam, 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 starts taking rounds. I mean, this is the type of career and job we've chosen, is there's a danger to it that is unpredictable at its best moments. And, you know, we're constantly dealing with situations. I had a situation just like this where I drove by a house and they were shooting guns right when I drove by. I don't know if they were shooting at me or not. I circle back around. I was in an unmarked. I hear the shots again. So I speed up, drop on the house, and I get out and get into a foot pursuit with these guys. And we ended up catching them later, and the guns in the field and everything. But this is how quickly things can go south. And I agree with Rich. I think the composure this guy showed after taking rounds, especially one to the body, and making sure you're wearing the equipment. Look, as a sheriff, I went out there a lot of times without a vest. But when I was on duty, you better believe I always had the vest on when I was out working and responding to calls. So things can change quickly, and this guy did a really good job of dealing with what happened really quickly.
And guys, I gotta own up to something here. During the commercial break, I know that I finished going through the story and stuff and reading that. And I think when we came back, and I think that I have to admit the human factor. I came back and I started giving a little rundown of what we talked about. And I got the stories confused. So we have one where we got a deputy shows up to a call. He takes incoming fire, which is what after the break. That's what I was thinking in my head. And the one that I was really hoping to talk about was, of course, this abandoned vehicle on the side of the road. We got our deputy showing up, and our bad guy that said, "Hey, yeah, it's my car," and he says, "Hey, give me your ID out of it," and then he takes off running, of course, and then our cop is chasing and transitioning the taser, which looks like a firearm, back and forth. And when he draws down on the bad guy stops in field, but the cop's drawing down on him with a taser, not knowing that there is a lethal threat. Bad guy is standing sideways, and he drops to one knee, points directly at the deputy, fires at least two shots. And then our deputy, I thought that he maybe fired, I'm curious if you guys think he fired the taser, but then he draws his gun. He was motivated, obviously, but I've never seen anyone draw a gun that fast. And he neutralizes the threat, falls down, sits up, puts at least one more round on target, and then goes down again. So anyhow,
we knew you were wrong, Chip, but it's your show, so we didn't want to say anything to us. So we just rolled with you on your show, but
I appreciate that.
Look, when you watch the video, he's doing a good job. He's chasing. He looks like he's in pretty good shape because his breathing is pretty good. He gets to the guy. He's got him placed in a place. And he immediately, in my opinion, what you can see is he transitions the taser to the left hand, which means he's probably already got his hand going to his holster because the other guy was not showing his right hand. If you've ever been to the force science training, I would highly recommend you take it if you're in law enforcement, because it shows you how quickly somebody can get a drop on you when you can't see their hands. So when you hear police saying, "Let me see your hands," there's a reason, because this video is a perfect example. He was able to pull that gun and fire a couple shots at the deputy, and thankfully the deputy was not hit, but the deputy went immediately to training, had the gun out of the holster and putting shots on target, and effective shots, because he put the guy down. And then what I liked was he eliminated the threat. He does move around after, but he makes sure that guy's no longer a threat. And really great job done by the guy. I think a sympathetic reflex. I think he did pop the taser off as well, but I think he had already started to transition because the taser's in the left hand. I think his right hand's already down at his firearm. when he sees that the guy won't show his right hand.
Good point. I agree. He was a right-handed shooter. And Sheriff Kreider used to teach for the FBI firearms and everything. I'm curious your take on this.
Yeah, I watched it. We actually used this video for our morning brief a couple of days ago. I watched a couple times. As he came around that corner, I was a little worried because it was a blind corner, but he slowed down, came around the corner. Then he slowed down because the guy wasn't running anymore. I actually think he made a conscious effort. I think he recognized the threat because the guy was bladed and he was hiding his hand. And he transitioned back to his left hand with his taser. And if you watch the video closely, you'll see his hand kind of come through the video. And I'm fairly certain that his hand was on his right hand was on his gun at the time. That's why he got it out so quick. And he went down kind of in that rollback position that we teach shooting through your knees. If you get hit or if you go down, I wasn't sure if he got hit when I first watched it, but he delivers another round from the seated position because the guy's still a threat at this time. My only critique of the whole thing is he's there by himself and he reholsters. Don't reholster. Don't know if that guy's coming back to life. He might be a zombie. You got to put a couple rounds in his noggin in that case, but keep that gun out and keep your focus on the threat until you get his backup. I was very impressed with the backup. When the backup got there, she immediately took control of the scene and got him out of the situation, took control of the bad guy, and was doing everything that she needed to do because he was hyped up after the shooting. So I'm guessing they have fairly good training in their office, and they did a great job. Hard, tough to critique stuff like that.
Yeah. Richie.
I got to tell you, I think that was two of the most squared away examples of law enforcement, professionals I've seen in a long time. The composure that this guy maintained in chasing this guy, especially when the guy stops, drops into a knee position, which is a fantastic position to be in if you're looking to engage someone, yet the cop maintains she takes control of the situation, assesses what's going on, takes care of the original responding officer. I think it was a fantastic job all around.
All right, thank you. Frank?
I just want to say that I agree with everything that's being said so far, but I think this was a key example of proper training. Because during incidents like that, and we've been involved in them in the Secret Service, we have situations that evolve, and your motor skills can sometimes be deprived. You have that motor skill deprivation when you're not training in that area. But when you're trained, you respond immediately. And that's what that was done. And it was done appropriately. And kudos to that officer and the backup as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree. First thing I thought, that sheriff is training his troops the right way. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and certified firearm specialists like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Appianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, your chief or sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's a great opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. Chip DeBlock, your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Lamb. We've got Sheriff Mark Kreider. We've got Rich Deripoli and Frank Leverage from the Secret Service. So thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. We just got done talking about a couple of uses of force. And I kind of poo-barred at the beginning. I kind of brought up the Shorewood police officer being shot while responding to a fatal shooting.
Shots fired! Shots fired! I'm a hit! Shots fired! Shots fired! I'm a hit! Shut.
I know that Sheriff Mark Kreider had said that that was from his neck of the woods. But when I come back from the previous, commercial break, I talked about how that went down, where we had an officer show up, and this bad guy ended up, he actually shot a female and who had three siblings, and she was a mother of a 14-year-old, and he killed her, but they ended up taking him out. I think it was in Milwaukee's where, he ran from the police and they took him out after the fact. But thing you wanted to add in from the Shorewood incident, Sheriff Kreider, or are we good to go?
I was just interested in that because Bartlett was actually the street that paralleled the street that I lived on. That was about 10 blocks from where I lived. Kind of unusual for that neck of the woods, but not unusual for Milwaukee. Milwaukee's kind of a dangerous town.
All right. Well, thank you. Well, gentlemen, that's two. We got time for actually some more. So let's go ahead and talk about the next one that we've got lined up here. And it also has a video component, and we're going to jump to Chicago real quick here. At rumble.com, this is Butters, the channel still. Chicago police released a graphic footage that left the suspect dead and an officer injured from a struggle.
Hey, Bob. Hey. Give me your hand. I got light.
Stop reaching.
Stop. I'm trying to. Stop. Stop. Shots fired.
10-1. So we're in Chicago, Illinois. So a man was killed. Chicago cop was injured in a police-involved shooting that happened late on Thursday evening in the city's west side. Now, Chicago police say that tactical officers were on patrol, and it was after 10:30 in the evening, and they tried to stop a guy in an alley in the Humboldt Park area. And so the man reportedly runs into a backyard. The officers follow him on foot, and during an attempt to detain him, there's all of a sudden a struggle, a fight. And look, I finally found a body cam that was better than all the others. There's a bunch of body cams going on here. It doesn't mean that they're all good and you can tell what's going on. But in an attempt to detain this guy and fighting over him, they keep telling him, he's obviously reaching for something. You can tell that from the verbiage from the police officers. And then all of a sudden you hear a gun discharge and it actually hits an officer in the leg. And that's when the officers, they do create some space, and then they return fire and they end up shooting the bad guy. So the wounded officer is taken to a hospital. He's in serious but stable condition. And the guy that was struck by police gunfire, they take him to Mount Sinai where he ends up dying. And the medical examiner identified him as a 19-year-old. And aren't these, all these bad guys, aren't they like always like 18 to 21? But it's a 19-year-old Nathaniel Ferang. And police say the firearm was recovered at the scene, the one that he had. This is a classic, when you're fighting a bad guy and there's like a wrestling match and he's in, his hands, and you're saying, hey, don't go for it. Stop reaching. And this stuff can always go down. Sometimes it's not necessarily your advantage to having too many officers, that close together going hands on. But Sheriff Mark Lamb.
Yeah. Look, going back to Forest Science, they show these videos where somebody can actually pull a gun from under their waistband when they're laying on their stomach. And we have zero. It's like, it doesn't even register on a time for them to be able to get on off a shot. And this is why I hate when they have a problem with us delivering strikes to somebody in that position who is refusing to give us their arms, because this is what happens. We continue to fight with them and they're able to get their control of a gun underneath their stomach or from their waistband. And then what happens is you get a guy that's actually shot. They did a good job of killing this guy and neutralizing the threat after. The lady cop, she runs out. I didn't love that. She ran out back past.
You saw that.
Yeah, look, I didn't care for that. I thought it looks to me like on the second video, there was almost a guy was shooting back towards where another officer was on top of the suspect. I don't know if it's clear to me who actually hits the suspect, but they neutralize this threat. But in the end, I hope this is a lesson to those who are not in this profession to show. First of all, it's very difficult to get somebody's arms from under their stomach back behind them. And number two, it is a dangerous place because they can pull something from their waist and we have zero reaction time if they're successful in getting a gun. And this is exactly what happens. So our ability to deliver strikes and gain compliance is paramount, but the public hates to see that. And then what happens is we get people hurt because we're not able to effectively get control of these subjects without people complaining about it. And Chicago is one of those places.
Gentlemen.
Well, you're right. You know, the public does hate to see that strike, but you know what? It's like I've always told all of my guys, hands, 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 right? That is the one thing that can hurt you. And if there was ever a case where you need to deliver a blow to this guy, a strike, however you do it, to get that guy's hands out from under him where you can put him in a position where you can neutralize whatever the potential threat is, it's this situation right here, right? And I'll deal with justifying it as a supervisor, as a manager later on with the media and the public. But right in that moment, you've got to get control of that guy's hands. And if that means hitting this guy, doing whatever you need to do to control him, then that's what you've got to do.
Amen. Amen.
I think the other thing that's important in this, if you've never worked in an urban environment, I spent a lot of time in Chicago just because bad guys, when they do bad things in Milwaukee, run to Chicago. And when bad guys in Chicago do bad things, they run to Milwaukee. And if you're in one of those alleys, you're basically in a confined space. You got nowhere to go. And you got a very, very limited, some of those alleys are maybe 6-8 feet wide. So there's not a lot of room to do your work that you need to do in order to get everybody involved. And sometimes when you have more, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys trying to get in, it's just too crowded to actually do your work. And then if a gun comes out, now you're in a confined space, you got nowhere to go. So I'm going to give her benefit of the doubt, and that she moved into the open alley so that she got better radio reception. And that's why she went out into the alley. So I'll give her kudos for that, getting out and getting the communication out.
You know, Sheriff Lamb brings up a really good point. We have a lot of use of force and we're up close and personal. We're fighting with a bad guy. They're not showing us your hands. You know, there's one thing, you know, there's pain compliance techniques, but we don't have a lot of impact weapons being used, and we don't have a lot of punches being strikes. You know, we just don't. It's just not the norm. The norm is the taser as being the answer to everything.
And the problem with the taser is if that guy gains control of the taser and somebody else is likely going to get tased in that situation. The best and most effective tool in a situation like that is strikes to the subject. That's how you're going to gain compliance. It's the quickest, easiest way. The taser ends up becoming a liability in some of those cases when you're so tight and confined and you've got multiple people with hands on the body. Yeah. Strikes is the most effective compliance tool there.
Yeah, we had a cop the other day using knees. He used his knees and it just stood out because we'd never see it being done. And it's so effective, especially when you're on the ground. You have a guy in that position. Rich, I'll let you close us out on this one.
We've had this discussion many times, especially on this show, about this taser. I think it's one of the most over relied upon, you know, instruments that a cop's got on his belt. There's certain situations the thing just isn't going to do what it needs to do, and this is a perfect example of that. Right, law enforcement can be a dirty business. And sometimes you've got to lay hands on people. And that means hitting someone until you can get their hands out from under them. And I think that would have been perfectly applicable to this situation.
Yeah, violence. I mean, you know, use of force, it never is pretty, but it's not really designed to be, you know, but you want it over as quickly as possible. Guys, I do want to, you know, the Sheriff Lamb mentioned this. Lookout.co, Watsonville Police, overuse handcuffs, detentions for minor crimes, county watchdog says. So it was an interesting article. We got just not time to cover this. I'm going to go very quickly, but the Watsonville Police Department, they detain and transport more people for minor crimes such as theft, trespassing, DUIs, and law enforcement agencies in Santa Cruz County. The county's government watchdog found in a new report. And so they're critical over their use of handcuffs and want them to back it down. I'll let you guys, we've only got 30 seconds. We'll go a little bit over on this, but Sheriff Lamb, your thoughts on this one?
It's a ridiculous article. That's how you have to deal with it. And reason why is all the videos we see where people get hurt. It's a ridiculous article. I've been to Watsonville, great police department. But yeah, sometimes you got to put handcuffs on people. And that's how we keep ourselves safe. So yeah, this is a stupid article. And it's always written by people that have never put handcuffs on anybody. And it's written by people that have no concept of what this job is.
Yeah. And you know, you're absolutely right, guys. We are out of time. So I'm sorry, Rich and Frank, I'm going to have to, we're going to have to bring it to a close here, but thank you guys so much for being on the show. Sheriff Mark Kreider, Sheriff Mark Lamb, and of course, Frank Loveridge and Rich Darapoli. Thank you guys so much. But don't go anywhere. We're going to be talking about the Wounded Blue at the woundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And Sheriff Mark Kreider, open up your microphone. I want you to tell us about the 10-7 in about 15 seconds.
Yes, we're helping law enforcement, retired law enforcement veterans, military veterans. We're helping them set up businesses, find new purpose. The average cop dies within 5 years of retirement. We want to change that. We want to give them purpose. We want them to make money and build something that lasts. 107consulting.com. We help them get that company set up and be right. Successful in entrepreneurship.
Gulls.com, Compliant Technologies, Gunlearn, Blue the Gold, My Medicare, Safeguard, Two Bells. Thanks, guys. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.